Well, this morning we're going to talk about facing spiritual forces. Facing spiritual forces. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Ephesians 6, 10 to 20. Familiar portion of Scripture. It was rather funny. I was thinking this morning, I was preparing again and just looking over. I'm thinking like, wow, last week I just spoke about giving and talked about spiritual warfare that came with that one there. I had to deal with some spiritual entity, that big one that I had to deal with before the service began. And I'm thinking, here I am, I'm talking about spiritual warfare, and, you know, had a great sleep, great, wonderful morning, and just beautiful sense of God's presence. Although it was interesting as well, as our prayer meeting on Wednesday night, we started praying in that whole area of spiritual warfare and facing spiritual forces, and I was trying to chuckling to myself, and I'm thinking like, okay, I just decided that that's what I'm to speak on, but these guys are all speaking it, and they just all gave a sermon together. I think, well, maybe I should just take each person that gave a word and just get them up here to speak this Sunday. And I tell you, it probably would have been really good. But we have a lot of great people right here. They know how to do spiritual warfare, and so we're very, very grateful for that. But we still want to talk about it and remind ourselves that there's more than just what we see in the natural. There is a spiritual realm that we do need to be aware of, and that, man, they can really cause some havoc. Ephesians 6, 10 to 20. It says, "The final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll be still standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert, be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassadors. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should." Well, this morning I just want to speak about facing spiritual forces. And that's a very present reality in life that we face. Warfare and spiritual realms that affect the physical realm that we live in. Now, I realize as you talk to people about spiritual realms that there's a lot of people out there, they don't even believe in a spiritual realm. And so you start talking like that, they sometimes just kind of shove you off or don't want to listen anymore. But it is a present reality that we need to realize that there is spiritual warfare that takes place in realms around us. Now, when we go through some difficult times, you know, our normal tendency is to focus on the situation, or we focus on people that are involved in the situation. And sometimes we can forget that maybe there's something else that's taking place. Maybe it's not just a situation that has happened. Maybe it's not just some people that are doing some things. Maybe there's something that's going on in the heavenly realms that is causing these issues and these problems. Now, I want to make it clear that not every difficult situation that we find ourselves in is an attack from Satan or from spirits or from the devil. When we get into, you know, do stupid things, it's not, you know, always that devil made me do it. We don't want to make that mistake to look for a demon around every corner, because that's not the way it is. But I think we also should realize that, you know, we all do a pretty good job of getting in trouble all by ourselves. We really don't need any help. But there is that influence that is out there that comes against us where we do need help because it is in a spiritual realm. So some things can be accredited to the spiritual realm, to forces at work. And the Bible says that you need to be aware of that, and that you need to ready yourselves that when you see those signs of interference, that they could possibly be the action of demonic spirits. Now, Ephesians 6:12 that we read here again, it says, "For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." The Passion Translation puts it this way. It says, "Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For there are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage." I thought that was an interesting paraphrase of that scripture. So often we do look to the natural, and we look to the situation that is happening. We look to the people that are, you know, maybe being involved in that area. And we often blame people. We often blame the natural when there could be a spiritual force that is at work. And so sometimes it can be more than just natural, but an attempt by the evil one to destroy us. And the Bible says there are evil rulers, there are demonic forces that still have limited power and authority in heavenly realms, and they work to hinder and destroy God's work. And as we get closer to the return of Christ, their activity becomes more and more frequent and also more visible. So the evil spirits are basically fallen angels, and they are powerful. They still have power, but some have been given greater power, because just as you had archangels, there can be archdemonic spirits as well. And don't underestimate them. Don't give them a foothold in your life, because they will cause havoc and even destroy you. And what we should be ready to do is to rebuke them in the name of Jesus. We sang that song here today, and to be personally honest with you, when I come to spiritual warfare, there's so many things that we can get into and talk to. We're going to kind of limit our conversation to this Ephesians here, but when you think about it, most times when I fight demonic things, I just got to say Jesus. Don't need to say a whole bunch of other things, because if you know Jesus, Jesus is enough when you speak the name of Jesus against those things. And so that's something really to remember. But you are dealing with demonic forces that deal with strategies and forces and temptations that will come your way to lessen your effectiveness as a Christian and even to destroy you. The Bible says that their job is to rob, kill, destroy. And so when you're facing a battle that seems to be overly difficult, I think you need to start looking a little bit beyond the natural, and to be looking to see that there could be a very strong attack that's being brought to me from the heavenlies. And you might be a target of some spiritual forces and strategies of these demonic forces coming against you. And the Bible again says, you're not just fighting flesh and blood. We're so used to looking just there. We look to people, we look to the circumstances, we look to the things that are happening around us, and we might miss sometimes that there's a spiritual battle that's going on that you don't even see and that you may not be aware of. And, you know, spiritual attacks, just so you kind of know, they'll cause a lot of wrestling. They'll cause a lot of struggling, and you'll find that you're really fighting really hard and you're trying to get things, but nothing seems to be working. They will be intense, and the purpose, again, is to destroy you and destroy the testimony of Jesus. And when you feel such an attack, you need to be ready to address those and pray against those forces. The evil forces, they love to work in the area of deception, deceiving people. False doctrine is a huge one. Lots of that flying around right now. Lies. The devil loves to spread lies. He loves to do that in our families. He loves to do that in our churches. He loves to do that wherever you might be. He loves to spread lies. Issues of control, he loves that. Pride, another one that he loves. Division, loves that one as well. And basically, they would want to come and they'll work against us, and especially even as churches, wanting to destroy that influence and that testimony for Jesus. And if God shows you or reveals to you that spiritual forces are at work in your life, then your strategy needs to change from looking to the natural to start looking to the spiritual and looking to what's really going on, and then start coming against that in the name of Jesus. So when we're made aware of spiritual forces, you know, come against them through Jesus. Rebuke them through Jesus and get yourself into that battle of prayer, because prayer really does change things and affects that spiritual realm a whole lot more than you think. And so this morning, I just want to highlight some areas of spiritual warfare, dealing with spiritual forces, and just to hit a few areas this morning that we might be better prepared to handle them and also better to recognize when there are spiritual forces at work coming against us. Now, the first thing we need to do is we look at this passage in Ephesians. It says, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6:10, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It's not always about us and how strong we are. It's about him and how powerful he is. And so it shouldn't be a time of fear, but it should be a time, you know, to be more serious about our faith and that we would draw closer to God and become stronger to him. And it really is a key in battling these forces to recognize that your strength's going to come from the Lord. So in other words, you know, don't do like a lot of people do. Well, oh, I'm not going to be around Christians anymore. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to do anything that's going to draw me closer to God. I'm not going to read my Bible anymore. I'm not going to do that. Man, you're just following their plan all the way. And you need to get strong in the Lord. You need to seek the Lord and get empowered by the Lord. And he will help you to defeat that demonic realm. If you try to battle on your own strength, I guarantee you, you're going to fall flat on your face. You're not going to do so well. Remember, they are fallen angels. They're bigger. They're stronger than you in the natural. They can be very intimidating. In the natural, you're no match for them. But with God, you are more than able to deal with them. You've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. You've placed your faith in him. The Bible says you are more than a conqueror. You have power in the name of Jesus. So your strength comes from the Lord. So we need to recognize that. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is Lord, not just a Lord. He is the Lord of Lords. And that includes the demonic realm. There is power in that name of Jesus. And that is why I say a lot of times in spiritual warfare, man, you don't have to be too smart. You just need to be smart enough to say, Jesus, Jesus. And come against those forces in the name of Jesus. Draw close to the one who is able to strengthen you, who is able to empower you, who is our refuge, who is our strong tower, who is able to save us, and who is able to deliver us. Another key thing about this is to remember that the Lord is with you. If you are a Christian, the Lord is with you. You don't have to go into a fight alone. And matter of fact, the devil often wants to give you a picture that you and him are all alone. That, you know, you're battling and there's nobody with you. You're standing all by yourself. And that's not true. The Bible says the Lord is with you. The Bible tells us in Matthew 28:20, Jesus says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. If you're worried about these end times, well, just be close to Jesus, because he is with you. He is with you. He's around you. He is beside you. And the Bible says he even sends his angels to protect you. Psalm 91:11, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. So when you're facing those spiritual forces, you are not alone. Even if you get a picture that you're all alone, The Lord is with you. He has sent his angels. You got a powerful group behind you. You just need to realize that they are there with you. So often as we speak the name of Jesus, that's all you have to do and the enemy flees. However, just using that name as a formula or saying, oh, I'm covered in the blood. If you're not in a relationship with God, don't use those terminology because they're not going to work unless you're in a relationship with him. Remember the response of the demons to those who were trying to use Jesus' name to cast out spirits, and they responded to those people. They said, Jesus we know, Paul we know, but who are you? And those demons overpowered those people. So, you know, it's not, you know, little catchy phrases that you get to learn in church. No, it's about a relationship with Jesus Christ that gives you the power and gives you the authority than to speak those words. And so you want to make sure that's where you are. Our authority to use the name and the blood of Jesus comes as we have relationship with him. And again, stay close to Jesus. That's so very, very important. You know, it's real simple theology, and yet so many people like to go here, there, and everywhere. Just get close to Jesus. That's the most important thing. And when we use the name of Jesus, the enemy has to flee. Because his name is above every other name. Philippians 2, 9 to 11 says, therefore God elevated Jesus to the place of highest honor, gave him the name above all other names, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Your strength comes from the Lord. He is the Almighty One. When he says he's the Almighty, that means there's nobody greater. He is the mightiest of the mighty. So Jesus is with you. He's greater. The one that is inside of you is greater than all the forces that are out there. So remember that. So when spiritual forces of darkness are against you, get your strength from the Lord. Get your strength in the Lord. Draw close to him because he's more than able to help you. And then secondly, in facing spiritual forces, we need to be aware of the strategies of the devil and prepare ourselves for those strategies so that we will not fall. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. So the demonic realm does get together and they work together, and they make strategies against you. So they are working together because they desire to destroy you and to destroy your influence with God. And so they get together. They make strategies to destroy your life and to destroy the work of the gospel. And the devil has a plan for your life, just like God has a plan for your life. And you want to be following God's plan and not the devil's plan, because his plan, rob, kill, destroy. John 10:10. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. And Jesus says, my purpose is to give you a rich and a satisfying life. So you want life? Jesus is the one saying, I will give you that life. I will bring you a rich and I'll bring you a satisfying life. Because a lot of times the enemy will say, oh, no, no, I'm going to give you this and this will be more satisfying. Well, you can go down that road if you want, but it's going to be a road that will end in disaster. But if you follow the plan of the Lord, it's going to be a road that will lead you to a satisfying life. So those evil spirits will try to plan your destruction. They will tempt you in many ways so that you will fall into their traps. And, you know, the devil likes to use the same stuff over and over and over again. You know, when it comes to false doctrines and false religions and all those kinds of things, if you really study them, it really goes back, right? You can actually trace a lot of right back to the temptation of Adam and Eve. And false doctrines have been out throughout the ages, and usually it's just a remake of an old lie. And but if you take the time to read the parable of the farmer scattering seed in Luke chapter 3, it's also recorded in Matthew as well, you'll see some of the strategies that the enemy will use and what they'll do. And it talks about when people's hearts are hard. Man, they like that. That's easy to work with those kinds of people for the enemy. the enemy likes to come along with and attack those people that, you know, really don't take their faith seriously. They don't do much with their faith. You know, they're not praying. They're not trying to get into the scripture, not attending a house of God. And he likes to work on them as well. Very easy to work, very easy to hit. The pursuit of pleasure. And, you know, that's a huge thing in our world today. Probably one of the biggest gods in our world today is the pursuit of pleasure. The pursuit of wealth and fame, another big one. Another one that's quite simple is the busyness of life. And those are all things that where the enemy likes to come along and capitalize on those areas. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him. Be strong in your faith. And friends, we need to realize it's your responsibility to build yourself up in the faith, to be aware, to be alert, to be wise to the strategies of the devil. You know, many a Christian has turned a blind eye to a lot of areas where God warns us clearly in Scripture that don't go there. And yet sometimes we just want to step in there a little bit more. What's on the other side of the fence? Sometimes we'll hop the fence and thinking that, oh, it's not going to hurt me. It's not going to bother me. My faith is strong enough. And what happens every time is that we become a victim of satanic traps. And so I often warn people that any teaching or activity that takes you away from your commitment to Christ is going to affect your relationship with Christ. And so you've got to be careful. Like, that should be a big thing when you're seeing that an activity that's going on in your life or an attack of the enemy is going on in your life and is taking you away from your commitment in Christ. That's probably not truth. It's probably not truth. As a matter of fact, it is not truth. Anything that takes you away from that. So be aware of strategy of the devil. He does plan against you. Those demonic spirits do get together and they do make plans against you. Now, thirdly, when facing spiritual forces from heavenly places, the Bible says, put on your armor that protects us from all these strategies and attacks. And again, where does the armor come from? It comes from the Lord and from our relationship with him. And again, get back to God. Get back to God. Ephesians 6:13-17 says, put on every piece of God's armor. Not your armor, God's armor. So you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And then after the battle, you'll be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arts of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's interesting that the first thing it tells us here is take a stand. Take a stand. Don't allow the enemy to have his way with you. That when you see him, yes, he may look very scary. Yes, he may look that he's stronger than you. What you need to do is you take your stand against him. You don't run away. We're to take our stand, hold our ground, holding to the truth that we have received, that we know that Jesus is the way, that he is the truth, that he is the Almighty, that he is the all-powerful, that he is the Lord of lords, that he's the King of kings, and we belong to him. So first thing he's telling you is stand your ground. Resist the enemy. The Bible says in James 4:7, humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, the devil wants you to run. He wants you to take off because that's part of his strategy. That's part of his game. But as soon as you take a stand against him and you hold your ground, he's the one that starts to run. He's the one that starts to flee from you. So remember that, these spiritual powers that they want you to run. They want you to give up. They want you to pull back in fear. And God is telling us the exact opposite. No, stand your ground. You face that demonic spirit. You face that demonic realm. And the Lord will help you. You put on his armor and he will help you to stand against that enemy and that the enemy will flee. So as we stand our ground, you hold on to the good news of your salvation. And that's something that when you open up your heart to Christ and you commit your life to Christ, you welcome him into your life, you are a new creature. You are saved. You are born again. And as you're born again, you are a child of God. And so you can stand against the enemy because you're operating now in authority that comes from God himself. So you're hold on to your faith. Hold on to that faith in Jesus. Allow that faith to be your shield that quenches the fiery darts and the arrows of the evil one. And you know, and when you're hit by arrows of the evil one, they do sting. They do hurt you. And they burn because there's a fire to them. But when you have that shield of faith, you know, part of the shield of faith, it quenches. It stops the flame of those fires. It puts it out. And that's what faith will do, is you keep building yourself up in the faith. Hold to your salvation. Hold to your faith in Christ. You know, you're now a child of God, and you no longer follow the ways of the evil one. You know, and just allow those things to protect your mind. Remind your devil. Remind the devil. Say, hey, I belong to Jesus. You don't, you know, you have no authority over me anymore. I repented of my sins. I renounced you, and I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I belong to him. You have no authority over me. So fill your mind with good things. Keep a focus on that which is good, that which is pleasing to God. Take up the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Know the word, declare the word, stand upon the word. So important to get into the word of God. And as you get in the Word of God, you're not going to be deceived. You're not going to be swayed by spiritual forces. And let me tell you, they can be very, very tricky. You know, they've had thousands and thousands of years of experience to know how to trip us up. And so get into the Word of God. Know the Word of God. Keep reading the Word of God. Keep studying the Word of God. It is powerful. Jesus himself, he showed us this weapon to defeat the enemy when he was tempted by the devil. You know, Jesus could have called on the angels. Thousands could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't. He decided to show us how that we as human beings could defeat the demonic realm. And that was simply hold to the word. Hold to the word of God. Speak the word of God. Hebrews 4:12 reminds us, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and also spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. See, you have a weapon that is able to defeat the enemy, and not just to push him back or hold him back, but actually to defeat him. The Word of God, the Bible. Know it, study it, proclaim it. And friends, again, just because you have a Bible in your hand does nothing for you. You need to get the Bible from your hand into your heart so that when you deal with those spiritual beings, that you can come against them with that weapon. So you have a weapon of armor. We need to use it. It's kind of interesting as well when you talk about armor that there's another portion of Scripture that talks about the armor of God as well. And it's called the armor of light, which comes down to right living, being a testimony, shunning evil ways and thoughts, being a light in the darkness, being a light in your community. That's another part of armor. Romans 13:12-14 talk about that. It says, the night is almost gone. The day of salvation is soon going to be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes. Put on the shining armor of right living. It's a shining armor. When we live for God, when we really make it that important in our lives, it becomes like a shining armor. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. So don't participate in darkness of wild parties and drunkenness and sexual promiscuity and immoral living, quarreling, jealousy. Instead, clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Armor, light armor, a visible light that shines. And I'm sure you have found that, you know, you go to some place where you don't know people and you come across some people and they just stand out to you. And you often think they got to be a Christian. They have to be a Christian because there's a light. There really is. There's a light that shines from them. So when you're facing demonic activity or you're feeling you're under attack from the enemy, make sure you continue to draw close to Jesus. Stay in that right relationship with Him. Put the armor on, because that's all important when we're facing spiritual forces. And then lastly, in facing spiritual forces of darkness here in Ephesians, it says, pray. Pray. 6:18 of Ephesians says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Prayer changes things. Prayer has more of effect in that spiritual realm than what you think. I find it kind of interesting that, you know, prayer meetings are probably the worst attended meetings that you have in any church. Shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. But, you know, it's also a struggle because don't you find it interesting that you can struggle when you pray? That when you have that time set aside, you know, the phone can ring or someone comes to the door and just seems to be interruptions. Or you're trying to get together with other people to pray, or you're trying to attend something and, you know, some relative drops by or some old friend drops by. It can be really interesting if you pay attention to that, just how the enemy can send people at the wrong time to cause you to back away from your commitment to pray. It's interesting. And the reason the enemy doesn't want us to pray is because our prayers affect the spiritual realm, and it will stop their activity when we pray. So as Christians, take advantage, the Bible says, of every opportunity to pray. And pray in every way you know how to pray. You know, if you're just a quiet person, good, then pray quietly. Maybe you like to pray out loud, then pray out loud. Pray by yourself. Pray with other people. Pray in tongues. Pray being sensitive. Open, like, Holy Spirit, what are you guiding me today? What are you trying to say to me today? Your prayers matter. They matter. And those prayers can be the very difference between yielding to a temptation or not yielding to a temptation. So important, especially when we see, you know, spiritual activity that's going on. A good example of that is when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying just before he was to be betrayed. And he was telling his disciples, look, if there's one thing you need to do at this time, when you're seeing the powers of darkness getting closer, is to pray. Luke 22:40, Jesus says to them, pray that you will not give in to temptation. And what was happening with those disciples? Well, they were tired. In the natural, they were tired. And so they actually fell asleep. And in that hour that Jesus really needed them, they'd fallen asleep. They yielded to some pressures. Man, when God calls you to pray, man, there's a lot of things you got to battle. Sometimes it's even sleep, that you got to work through it, pray through it to win that battle. And as we come to verse 19, there's another area to pray, not just for yourself or to pray for other people, but to pray for your pastors and leaders. Ephesians 6:19, and Paul says, and pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan, that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. In other words, it's for everybody. You know, pastors and leaders in faith are often prime targets of these special forces of darkness. And they know that if they can remove the shepherd, then the sheep can be an easy kill as well. And so remember that, friends, that, you know, I know of late that it seems that, you know, the pastor is probably the most least spiritual person of all, it seems, of late, that, you know, we got the apostles and the prophets and all these other people, and that is good and wonderful. But if you follow through in the scriptures, it talks about the shepherd. Well, who's the one that deals with the wolf? Who's the one that deals with the false doctrines? It's the shepherd. And so often that's why the enemy comes against the shepherd of the flock. And so it's good for us that we would pray for our shepherds. We would pray for our pastors. We would pray for those in spiritual leadership, because often they are targets of that spiritual realm. 2 Thessalonians 3:2-3 again, just speaking about that, says, pray too that we will be rescued from wicked and evil people. Because they're sent in an assignment as well, for not everyone is a believer. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. Prayer makes a difference. When you're dealing with those spiritual forces of darkness, prayer makes a difference. Your prayers make a difference. And when we can come together in unity and pray, there's huge advancements that come. And so let us commit to praying. Let us commit to keep on praying, because it's really important as we battle those spiritual forces of darkness. Now, I realize this morning as we come to the conclusion that, you know, there's lots of areas of spiritual warfare that we can talk about, and we're just kind of doing a quick summary here in this book of Ephesians. But what I want to do is simply make you aware and to remind you there are spiritual battles that you will face. We all face spiritual forces of darkness, and they are at work in the world. They are real, and like never before, they are working overtime as they recognize their time is short. And so just as the scripture is telling us here, be strong in the Lord. Do your exercises in the Lord. You know, we like to do our physical exercises, and we can be real faithful to those. Bible says that's a good thing to do, but even a better thing to do is make sure you spiritually exercise. So be strong in the Lord, in His mighty power, because our God is still able to do more than we could ask or think. Be aware of the strategies of the enemy. Don't fall for their trickery. Be alert. Be on guard all the time. Get your armor on. Stand your ground. Build yourself up in the faith. Protect yourself in the armor of God. And always keep the word of God, not just beside you. Put it in here, in your heart. Get it in your mind. Keep reading that over and over and over again. And pray and pray and pray. Pray for yourself. Keep that time of prayer for yourself going. Keep praying for one another. Pray for your Christian leaders who stand there to protect you. And most important of all, keep Jesus in the forefront of your life. That's so very, very important. And again, I would say, you know, as we close, man, there's a lot of strategies out there that help you in spiritual battles. But personally, what I've found throughout the years is when I just simply say Jesus. Man, that takes care of it usually right away. That when I come against them in the name of Jesus, I start taking authority in the name of Jesus, man, I just find that that enemy goes. And so I encourage you, stay close to Jesus. He's the answer. He's that strong tower. He's the authority to defeat all those spiritual forces. Now, as we close and as the musicians come back to the instruments, I know we all face battles. But maybe you've been in a battle of late that has been really difficult. And it would seem that no matter what you do, it doesn't seem to make a difference. And that it's been going ongoing and ongoing and ongoing. And it's been very discouraging for you. And it's like you're fighting for your life. Well, usually that's a good sign that there's a spiritual attack or a spiritual assignment against you. And if so, you know, you need to address that. And you need to command that spirit to cease and stop his operation and rebuke him in the name of Jesus and get in that place of prayer that God will guide you to come against that entity that may be coming against you. It is a real thing, but we have power in the name of Jesus. We have authority in the name of Jesus. You are a child of God. He has no authority over you. And sometimes you just need to remind him of that, that, hey, I'm God's child. I'm not yours anymore. I used to be yours, but I repent of my sins. I renounced you. I am now a Christian. I am now a child of God, and I choose to live for him. So get out of the way, Satan. I am going to live for God. So they're going to close us here with a song. And if you're here today and maybe